Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast already, this Friday, December 29th, 2017. Again, the final broadcast of the year. I think it's apropos that we're closing on this note, exploring the David Crowley murder mystery. I want to dig into this a little bit more, again, with my special guest, Richie from Boston. Very grateful that you came on today's broadcast. Glad that we could finally do it after trying to do it for the last couple of days. Third time's the charm, apparently.
Indeed. My pleasure, brother.
Mine too. I really want to sort of dive into the facts, and I kind of touched on this in the first hour, but I want to make it clear. I think that one of the people that has done the best job in investigating what exactly happened is Greg Fernandez Jr. And he did a live stream reviewing Eric Nelson's A Gray State last night. I reached out to him. He might be on at some point. It'd be fun if I think it would be interesting for the listening audience if we could do a broadcast like you and Greg and Dan Hennen and I. I think people would really appreciate that. So we'll see if that comes together. I also reached out to Dan last night at Greg's behest, but I asked in the chat of the live stream that Greg was doing if there were other resources or places he would point people at this point, because if you follow what Greg has done, he has basically been kind of chronologing the mystery from the very beginning, really, just a couple of days. It's my understanding he made the first video around January 20th, 2015, where he was saying, "This is weird." And then he's been making videos all along. In fact, he has a David Crowley, what he calls Gray Stage playlist on YouTube on his Greg Fernandez Jr. YouTube channel. And at last count, he has 48 videos on that playlist that amazingly haven't all been scrubbed by YouTube. I don't know how he manages to do that, but some of them have a low view count in the hundreds. Some of them have several thousand views, but there are a number of fantastic videos. He points to a few in particular, number 2, number 7, number 8. I think number 11 is also a really good one. And they're usually titled appropriately. They give you a little bit of context, and they're also numbered. Number 11 in particular, I want to focus on. First, let me say that Greg said the two places that he would point people generally are his website, Greg Fernandez with a Z, Jr., J-R, GregFernandezJr.com. And you'll see there the main menu entry item titled Gray Stage. And there are a number of sub-entries there in that menu. And I think at last count, he has 9 articles that he's written that include all kinds of things like the police report documentation and embedded links to his other stuff, the images that Apple Valley Police released of the crime scene, the crime scene photos, basically, 464 of those. So he points to his website and Dan Hennen's website as well, which is, it's The Ugly Truth, but the address is uglytruth.info. Just uglytruth.info. And so those are the two resources that Greg pointed to. I think Greg is, like I said, he's done a yeoman's job of trying to gather the facts and information and really pointing out the contradiction. So I want to touch on a couple of things to set the stage for the second hour and sort of dive into the details that clearly rebut the picture that Eric Nelson paints in his so-called docudrama, A Gray State. Sorry, I'm froggy a little bit the last few days. So in his video, David Crowley Crime Scene Photos, Gray Stage Number 11, February 21, 2016. At the end of the video, he has the basically a slideshow of the crime scene photos, and then at the end of the video, around the 21 to 22 minute mark, he starts going through these slides, and they read like this: on February 17th, AVPD, Apple Valley Police Department officer Brian Bone contacts the suspicious person, quote unquote, who, well, let me back up actually. On January 19th, 2015, a neighbor calls Apple Valley Police regarding a suspicious person in the house, quote unquote, AVPD public release page 78. On February 17th, that's a month later, AVPD officer Brian Bone contacts the suspicious person, quote unquote, Christopher Klein by phone. Police spell Klein's name three different ways in two reports. Klein said, quote, he had been there with David's father and brother and had seen there were two shot rounds in the floor and roof. Again, AVPD public release page 78. So this, again, is a month after the initial police investigation. And continuing, Daniel Crowley Sr., who was David's father, tells Detective Sean McKnight he was not aware of the bullet hole and had not gone into the home with Klein, AVPD public release page 81. On February 18th, the following day, 2015, police officers return to the Crowley home and find the bullet that killed David, AVPD public release page 79. And, you know, so those are a few of the oddities. All of a sudden, you start to, this is what I mean, you read the police, just read those 94 pages for anyone who hasn't, and all of a sudden you scratch your head. Why was the crime scene not cordoned off? And it wasn't. These guys were in there. You watched the video, I think you might have been alluding to Gray State The Rise, which is now just sort of referred to as The Rise, which was considered a documentary and assembled from the pieces that David had created. And they talk about a playlist, you know, that's included in the beginning of the video. You see somebody scrolling through his files and folders on his Apple device, and it says that list was viewed and captured 5 days after David and Comel and Rania were found. So just 5 days after, already some people are going through the house sifting through things, and that was later. I mean, people were in the house basically a day or two after the initial Apple Valley police investigation, which is bizarre. It reminds me of things like the San Bernardino incident when Saeed Farouk is a suspect, and all of a sudden the FBI is like, hey, press, come on in, trample the crime scene. And or Las Vegas when Paddock's Mesquite home is broken into, so the coroner's office in Las Vegas has police guards on the front and back, at least four armed, well, police officers. But his home in Mesquite, Texas, is unlocked and open. It wasn't really a break-in as much of a walk-in. And it's the same kind of scenario here. It's bizarre, right?
Well, when you say looking through the facts, it's almost impossible because the facts are so murky and they're always changing. This has all the earmarks. I'm so glad you brought up San Bernardino because I was just racking my memory trying to remember which one where they allowed the press to go through when it was clearly a crime scene.
Yeah.
And the press is rummaging through, showing pictures of driver's licenses and everything else. None of this makes any sense. They make a point in this documentary, A Gray State, they make a point of how submissive and how controlling and his wife swapped over and everything else. But the last thing he's going to do on this God's green creation is to write in his murderer's wife's blood on the wall, God is greatest or Allah Akbar, and they're calling it, it's all, oh, that's just a last little shot by him, a sarcastic thing aimed at Kamel's Muslim past, which the only thing you ever hear about her Muslim past is when she met David, she changed from it, and then that's it. They show her throughout the, they show her constantly, and she looks like any other happy, well-adjusted American woman.
Yeah.
So the last thing on earth he's going to do is write in her blood, and it's they deduced it was a last little shot by him, a sarcastic thing.
Makes yeah.
Zero sense.
Yeah. And again, that whole, you know, the pastor didn't show up drunk to church today, you know, painting her, like you said, saying, you know, well, she seemed happy. She, you know, she didn't seem to have a problem with stuff, even though you're seeing happy people, you're hearing happy people, while this thought is subtly and almost imperceptibly being placed in your mind. I can't overstate the fact that, and this again is something that Greg Fernandez mentioned in his live stream last night. Just go. He suggested at the end of his live stream, just go read the 94 pages of police reports released to the public, and you will see a completely different picture. I want to go back though to the one of the early news reports, just to kind of sort of get to the point of setting the stage again for this inversion of reality, I suppose maybe is the best way to put it. One of the first stories to emerge was from the Star Tribune. Star Tribune. The headline was Apple Valley Deaths Mystify Family Friend. And I would use the term friend loosely again. That was a story by Pat Pfeiffer at the Star Tribune, January 20th, 2015. So basically, you know, a few days after details emerge. And let's see, just a few, I guess, some excerpts from the story. And I'll read the story. And folks, you tell me if this doesn't sound, if there aren't some things that kind of jump out in your mind, like, that sounds weird, what the heck? Friends of David and Kamel Crowley were in disbelief and anguish Monday, 2 days after the bodies of the couple and their five-year-old daughter, Ronnie, were found in their Apple Valley home. Apple Valley police said Monday that the three died of gunshot wounds, and they continued to characterize it as an apparent murder-suicide. Remember, this is just 3 days after their bodies were discovered. I like the way that's couched. They continue to characterize it as an apparent murder-suicide. Their bodies went undiscovered for up to 4 weeks. A neighbor stopped by the house about 12:30 p.m. Saturday to collect packages that were piling up on the front stoop of the tidy white Rambler. Remember, this is Christmas time. The neighbor called police after looking in a window and seeing the bodies lying in the living room. A black handgun lay nearby. Mason Hendricks, a close friend, said Crowley and his wife were amazingly close and in tune. Oh, excuse me. Mason Hendricks, a close friend, said Crowley and his wife amazingly close and in tune, and speculated, that's the way it reads, speculated that even their deaths had to have been a mutual decision. What? Crowley left behind a two-sentence note, but Hendricks wouldn't say what it said. And so from here on, it's basically Mason Hendricks' version of events. He says it's very short. It's very puzzling. Honestly, it doesn't explain what happened. It doesn't put much into perspective. It's two sentences. That's all it is. Hendricks said he last talked to Crowley on the phone on December 2nd. Another friend talked to him by phone on the 16th or 17th of December. Then his brother Dan dropped off Christmas presents on the 26th or the 27th. Dan Crowley told Hendricks on Monday that the Crowley's dog Paleo popped his head up into the large window. Dan Crowley didn't want to bother his brother and sister-in-law, so he left and later called and texted his brother a couple of times, with no reply. Obviously, Crowley's father reached Monday, said he was not ready to talk about the deaths, which makes sense. Crowley, 29, a filmmaker and screenwriter, worked at home and it wasn't unusual for him to become reclusive while working. Notice how they always do that in these stories. They got to tell you, oh, okay, well, that's normal. Kamel Crowley, 28, was a self-employed dietitian who was trying to develop a business. Their daughter wasn't in school yet or in daycare because both parents were usually with her, which should be a good thing, but in today's society, it's always cast as bad. You're kooky if you want to spend time around your kids and not have them propagandized by the state. It's a good surprise. It's a surprise. It's a travesty. It's an honest to God terrible, Hendricks said, but literally there was no indication. And this little soundbite, a couple of just extra little bits. Crowley's garage contained an arsenal of what? An arsenal of props, it says, for the movie, which is an interesting way to couch that. Skipping ahead, Kamel Crowley was Pakistani. Her family in Texas didn't approve of her marrying a white military type guy, Hendricks said. Crowley and his family didn't talk too much either, he said. The Facebook group Justice for David Crowley and Family was started. That's mentioned. That's actually the group that Greg Fernandez started. Hendricks and other friends went to visit Paleo at an animal hospital Monday. The dog will probably go to the Crowley's brother after police finish their investigation. And incidentally, I was going to mention that Eric Nelson's Gray State closes with a scene of a slow motion shot of Paleo, who the dog looks possessed to me. I mean, it looks like, what was the movie with Denzel Washington? Demonic possession. I forget.
Azazel.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't remember the name of it, but I know what you're talking about. It
looks like that at the end. The dog looks possessed to me. And, anyway,
I just find it strange that his brother would take the dog after they write that the dog ravaged the bodies.
Exactly.
Who? I mean, are you kidding me?
Wouldn't you put the dog down? That was my first thought.
I'd have to. I mean, it's insane. But go ahead. I didn't mean
it. Is. No, not at all. I completely agree. And speaking of that, one of the best pieces. I have some questions before I get to those, or just some oddities just about this one article, for example. But one of the best things that folks can read other than the 94-page police report is Greg Fernandez's article September 17th of this year, 2017, titled 21 Questions for Detective Gummert, the Gray Stage Number 4. And this is a fantastic read. If you haven't read it, folks, I suggest you read it. But speaking of the brother, first, actually, let me just read the oddities that jump out to me. I'll mention that in the next segment, and we'll kind of talk about some of the facts, and then we'll talk more. Richie and I, my special guest, Richie from Boston. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Welcome back. Once again, joined by my special guest, Richie from Boston. I'm just catching up in the thread here. Guys, Board Op reminds me, it's Fallen, the movie that I was thinking of with Denzel Washington and the portrayal of the demonic character Fallen, indeed, as Richie pointed out. So the inconsistencies, let me just go to my questions and then Greg Fernandez's point here. And just again, to kind of point out the facts and the inconsistencies. So I read the Star Tribune story. So a few quick questions. So how did police know that they died of gunshot wounds when it was later revealed that most of David and Kamel's heads were missing from their rapidly decomposing bodies by that time, 3+ weeks later? How did they know in just days, basically the same day, that it was an apparent double murder-suicide?
In just 2 hours.
Especially since the bullet that killed David wasn't found for another month. There was no... flesh or blood of Ronnie found on Comel, her mom. That's an interesting another side note, which kind of makes you wonder if the crime scene was staged. As Greg Fernandez points out, it's interesting that you even see in all of the video footage in Eric Nelson's A Gray State, David Crowley appears to be a right-handed shooter, and yet the 40 Smith & Wesson was found near his left hand. So no one heard gunshots in a fairly urban neighborhood on Christmas Day. That's kind of weird. No one thought it was odd that they were MIA for 3+ weeks, especially when friends are contacting them in December in the run-up to Christmas, and they never said we're going on vacation or anything like that. And what kind of brother drops off Christmas presents a day or two after Christmas? That's weird all by itself, but isn't even sure initially which day he dropped them off after Christmas, and leaves gift wrap packages on the front step in the middle of winter, and texts a couple of times and calls later, but doesn't hear back and never bothers to follow up further. What kind of – I mean, that's weird. And then, as Greg Fernandez points out in his 21 questions for Detective Gummert, number 7, early media reports suggested Daniel Crowley went to David's house on December 26th or December 27th, 2014. However, in police reports, it is clear that Daniel Crowley Jr. stated he was at his brother's house on December 28th. Was Daniel ever asked about the various dates as to when he went to the Crowley residence? No. That's weird. The way that Daniel Crowley Sr. talks about the event is weird. And so I just want to say in this segment real quick, my objective is not to cast a shadow of suspicion over anyone in particular, but to simply point out the oddity of the fact that while inconsistencies and gaps in the official story remain and persist, yet the official position, well, we'll come back to that thought. I'll conclude that and we'll continue on when we come back with my special guest, Richard from Boston, right after this short break. Stick around, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. Angioprim. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
There's an older road just off Route 9. It fades into the lake at the low water line. Sometimes I wander down that road alone, remembering the town that I once called home. I grew up in the valley, every neighbor a friend, until the modern world started creeping in. One day came the lawyers with cash in hand. They swore that our village would light up the land. The dusky waters move cold and slow, and the ghosts of the village still wander below. Homesteads of families and friends forevermore, haunting the valley below this sparkling shore, surrounding the valley.
Welcome back.
Painted red line, drawn by company man.
Bottom of the second hour already of today's broadcast is Friday, December 29th, 2017. Final broadcast of the year, joined by my special guest, Richie from Boston. And let me just back up and say this one more time, because I think it bears putting all together. My objective, again, is not to cast a shadow of suspicion over anyone in particular, but to simply point out the oddity of the fact that while inconsistencies and gaps in the official story remain and persist, yet the official position of AVPD, Apple Valley Police Department, and the, you know, mainstream narrative really kind of reflects this, but AVPD's official position is this. It is this, quote, the lives lost in that home have greatly affected their families. I quote, I think we owe it to their families to move on and let them live in peace. They have suffered enough, and continual discussion of this case serves no purpose. Moving forward, AVPD will no longer answer any other questions regarding this case. So we have this, even though of all of these gaps, is it not weird that the bullet that allegedly killed David Crowley was not found until a month after the investigation and after the crime scene was contaminated repeatedly. Is it not weird that David Crowley was right-handed? The pistol that supposedly killed him and his family was found near his left hand. And by the way, his right hand was missing. Is that not strange? We're told this dog allegedly cannibalized the bodies, but that's, you know, I mean, why would the dog eat through skulls and not, you know, muscle tissue and things that you would expect an animal to eat, not chew on bones necessarily, if it was trying to survive, if that makes sense. I don't want to get too gruesome, but go
ahead. I'll tell you, Chris, the back door was open. They don't want to talk about that at all. If the dog wanted to do anything, he could have just poked his head through it and pushed his way out, as opposed to eating things that would actually, eating parts of the people that would only infringe the forensics. You know what I mean? Like, the dog was very helpful to the police report, but sadly, they're not going to answer anything anymore.
Right.
It's ridiculous. The whole thing just stinks to high heaven.
The fact that, you know, they conclude, even though the bodies weren't found for weeks, I haven't gone back to look at what the weather reporting was at the time, but, you know, 3 to 4 weeks after the crime is committed, they're concluding that there was no entry from the outside. How do you know when it was snowing? Were the tracks, if there were any, were they covered up? How do they know 3 weeks later that there were no tracks? It's weird. And like,
do
I said,
you remember the driveway was shoveled?
Yeah, that's a curiosity too, and I'm not quite sure what to make of that, because there are I think in the crime scene photos there are shots initially of it not being shoveled, so I don't know if police did that or what the heck happened there. But speaking of that and the crime scene photos, and again, Greg Fernandez, you know, some of the reporting that he's done has been fantastic. But his video, David Crowley Crime Scene Photos, Gray Stage number 11 that I mentioned earlier, published February 21, 2016. Toward the end of the video, he concludes with this slide. It says, 94 pages and 464 photos later, I still have not found the evidence to suggest David Crowley is guilty of a double murder-suicide. And just to... you know, for folks who don't know, it's my understanding that Greg was never a David Crowley sycophant, so to speak. In fact, he objected to the Gray State narrative or movie line. He considered it fear porn, so to speak. But obviously, this case is full of gaps and inconsistencies and oddities and irregularities. And like you say, Richie, I mean, we're just kind of moving on. Nothing to see here except that David was crazy and shot his family and himself.
It's amazing that the amount of interest that just the short trailer got, that nobody, all the opportunists, that all the people that you would have thought would have picked up the ball and ran with it, nobody will touch this with a 10-foot pole. So no matter what the story is, the official story, anything, the message was put out loud and clear, and it appears everyone heard it, except for people like yourself, myself, Greg Hernandez.
Yeah,
I can understand when I was watching A Gray State, I was watching his father, and I was thinking about if it was the other way around, and I was in David's shoes, my father would be the same, because he would consider it "quote unquote fear porn" as well. So I understand that one angle, but it just amazes me that, you know, the journal comes out and the most damning evidence against everything is apparently his own words. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
It's just crazy, man. It's crazy. And now that we're even talking about this, I'm really going to jump into this even more. See how much trouble we can get ourselves in.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, you know, just to kind of circle back to this point, my objective is not to cast a shadow of suspicion on over anyone in particular, but the inconsistencies. I mean, what brother doesn't know? Yeah, I think it was at his house on December 26th or 27th, and actually it was December 28th. So as Greg Fernandez points out, was Daniel ever asked about the various dates as to when he went to the Crowley residence? No, he wasn't. And they have a number of other folks on the periphery. The point is, if you're investigating a crime, where is the motive? There doesn't seem to be any clear motive still to this day for David to do what he is alleged to have done. Yet you have folks on the periphery, some of them I would say opportunistic, who, you know, the guy goes, meets with Hollywood producers. They say, we'll throw a few million, several million dollars at this project. And suddenly he's found dead. And that's not weird. You know, is there opportunity there? Is there motive there for somebody who some of the co-producers like Mitch Heil, for example, or Sean Wright or Danny Mason or Chris Klein or Mason Hendricks, a.k.a. Mason Norsk Hest? You know, is there not motive somewhere in there for a guy or co-conspirators to basically try to steal David's idea and make millions? Well, there seems to be the possibility, at least.
Well, there was enough interest to make a movie or a documentary A Gray State, which is the total opposite. But nobody wants. If this movie came out, it would have been damaging. And they did what they do. It's just like somebody's car hitting a tree, but right before it did, it exploded first.
And the engine was found 200 feet behind the crash. Right.
I love how good you are with numbers, man. You are like a human computer, Chris Hinckley.
4:20 in the morning. It's nice. Just a coincidence, you know.
Speaking of that, before I forget,
that's Michael Hastings for time, folks who don't know. Yeah,
the Quran that was found between them was open into a traditional Muslim forgiveness prayer. But if you look right below it, the picture they offer us of the actual Quran, you find the number 3112. Which just coincidentally enough comes out to 322.
Yeah.
The police officer in charge, whose name was Mason, I forget his last name. You just said it.
Well, the friend that I referred to as Mason.
Oh, my mistake.
Yeah. Mason Hendricks, a.k.a. Mason Norsk Hest. Yeah. And Danny August Mason, so that's, you know.
I've already contacted Greg Fernandez. I'm going to get him on a live stream, and we've got to get back on this and get into this even more so.
Yeah, I have really appreciated Greg's reporting, because like I said, I mean, he does a good job, better than I would say, of just sticking to the facts and not getting excited. But his 21 questions to the Apple Valley Police Department, I think, are fantastic, and you know, he asks simple questions like, was water found in any of the toilets in the Crowley residence? Because you can see from the crime scene photos, there's scant little water in the toilets, and one of them was shut. So how did Paleo survive for 3 weeks? And Officer Gummert's, Detective Gummert's response was C, answer number two to his questions, which was regarding the missing body parts. Parts were allegedly missing, and they were missing from the scene. And there is no direct, you know, I don't want to get too gruesome, but, you know, there are ways to, when a bear eats somebody, there's a way to go through the excrement and prove, oh, the dog or the bear ate the person that was attacked.
It's called forensics, and they didn't do it.
Exactly.
Animals don't start with the hardest part, like the skull. It doesn't work like that. None of this makes any sense.
Exactly. So, you know, there's no direct addressing of these obvious questions, you know. So there are parts missing. Where are the parts? Where's the bone matter, for example, of the parts? And these other so was there evidence in the excrement? You know, I don't want to be too graphic, but the point is these things were not addressed directly. And if it's a murder investigation, gosh, you would think that they would be, because if body parts are missing from three individuals, That's kind of suspicious, isn't it?
Right. And we're even talking about, according to the story, we're talking about the murder of a mother and her 5-year-old child. It would seem that no stone would be unturned, even though they already had a convenient story already set up.
Yeah.
I mean, in my opinion, and just to reiterate, I'm going off this purely as an emotional level. I haven't spent as much time on this as I should have, and I guess that's going to change because this is just like the final nail in the coffin of ridiculousness on this entire story. You know what I mean? I've done a few videos since this occurred, and like I said, I'm going to hook up with Greg Hernandez and see if we can't really get ourselves in trouble.
Yeah,
because that's what's going to happen.
It's an interesting story filled with contradictions. You know, again, back to Greg's 21 questions. Chris Klein spelled 3 different ways in the AVPD documents. Greg asked, "Do you know when a neighbor called the Apple Valley Police Department to report a suspicious person in the Crowley residence on January 19th?" Yes, they know. Suspicious person was identified as Chris Klein. So question number 11, Greg asks, how was Chris Klein identified as the suspicious person the neighbor was referring to? The answer from AVPD is unknown. You don't know how Chris Klein was identified as the suspicious person in the residence 2 days after the crime scene was investigated? That's, none of this is weird. None of this is suspicious. I mean, come on. It's, you know, and there, all of the contradictions you go through, you know, this Chris Klein character says, oh, yeah, I was there with Dan Sr., David's dad. Dan Sr. says, I never went in the house. He told me this is the way it was reported in police reporting. He told Detective Sean McKnight on page 81 of the 94 pages. He told me he was not aware of the bullet hole and had not gone into the home with Klein. That's Dan Sr. So this is not weird. You know, the controversy of DHS and FBI being involved. Greg Fernandez asks question number 15. Was DHS and FBI involved in your investigation? Detective Gummert answers, not contacted, no investigation. However, that was later contradicted from other accounts. So what the heck is going on? You know, It's very strange. And for AVPD to basically do the thing that we always hear, like in Seth Rich or, you know, these other cases, oh, come on, it's disrespectful to the family to try to get to the bottom of what happened to their loved ones. How is that disrespectful exactly? When there are gaps and inconsistencies in the story, it's respectful to the victims actually to try to find out what the heck happened. When the facts are very unclear, very murky, and the story that we're being presented is very misleading, would you agree?
Absolutely, Ricky? Absolutely. It's amazing. It's amazing to me that there's so many questions, contradictions that don't seem to end, and nobody wants to deal with it to keep the family's feelings, you know, in check. And yet they do the entire documentary that makes him look exactly 100% guilty. It's horrible.
Yeah. I am reminded, a little analogy, you know, this whole nothing to see here, it's disrespectful to the family, reminds me, I was recruited a million years ago by AmeriQuest, the mortgage predator at large. And I ended up working for him for a little bit. That's a long story, but... there was a practice in the mortgage business, that company in particular, of at closings, people sometimes would cover up certain parts of documentation with their elbow. They kind of like scoot their elbow over stuff like nothing to see here. That's how these stories always feel to me. When AVPD says, yeah, we've come under scrutiny for our lackadaisical and haphazard investigation efforts, poor job investigating, so to speak. But, you know, these people have never done what we've – they've never spent a day doing what we do. And it's disrespectful to the family to keep investigating. It reminds me of that kind of thing. It's a cover-up, plain and simple.
That's all there is to it. There it is. In a nutshell, 2 hours worth, there it is. The entire thing's a cover-up, and they did leave clues here and there suggesting who was probably behind it. But I mean, just the entire topic of the movie David was trying to get out has gotten more, you know, the result is exactly what we would expect.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, you know, I got to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2, keep it today.
When you were here before,
that's life, that's what all the people say. You're out in high April, shot down in May, but I know I'm gonna chase that tune when I'm back on top in June. That's life, and as funny as it may seem, some people get their kicks stomping on a dream, but I don't let them get me down, 'cause this final world, it keeps me spinning round. Well, I've been a puppet, a pauper, a pirate, a poet, a pawn, and a king. I've been up and down and over and out, and I know one thing. Each time I find find myself flat on my face. I just pick myself up and get back in the race. There's life.
Oh, welcome back. Final segment of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast. Final segment of the final Road Warrior Radio broadcast of the year this Friday, December 29, 2017. And just to recap, let me borrow again from Greg Fernandez's video, the one that I mentioned earlier, David Crowley, Crime Scene Photos, Gray Stage number 11. At the end, the frame that says, 94 pages and 464 photos later, I still have not found the evidence to suggest David Crowley is guilty of a double murder suicide. I'm going to change that a little bit and say there is evidence to suggest, because that's exactly what the devil does. Like I've said many times on this broadcast, I believe the devil has but one weapon. It's the power of suggestion. You see it reflected in the story in the garden. Hath God said? Did God really say? You see it in the book of Job. The devil comes before God and says, Job only serves you because, and of course, Jesus in the wilderness, you know, if you really are the Son of God. So it's this power of suggestion with the implicit counterfeit in the suggestion. So there is evidence to suggest. That's exactly what all of that is supposed to do. Suggest the possibility that David Crowley is guilty. But what I would say, the way I would say it, and I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but I think this is what Greg was basically getting at. 94 pages and 464 photos later, I still have not found the evidence that proves David Crowley is guilty of a double murder suicide. In fact, there are a number of very strange oddities, inconsistencies, and gaps in the story. And the fact that we're encouraged once again, as always, to run away from this is very unsettling. My thanks, sincere thanks to Richie from Boston for today's broadcast. I'm sure we'll do this again. Again, I mentioned it earlier. For more information on the David Crowley murder mystery, I would direct folks to Greg Fernandez Jr.'s website, GregFernandezJr.com, and the Ugly Truth website, Dan Hennen's site, UglyTruth.info. That'll do it for today's broadcast and the year. I hope it was informative. As always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. We'll see you next year. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.